Voice of America presents Jazz Club USA. The doors swing wide at Jazz Club USA, and here seated at a ringside table to welcome you is your host, Leonard Feather.
Once again, to all you jazz fans all over the world, greetings and modulations. Today we have a session dedicated to an instrument that had an important place in the origins of jazz, the guitar. Probably some of the earliest jazz, when the music was still in its most primitive folk music stage and had hardly begun to be documented, was played on broken-down pianos and crude banjos and guitars in the Deep South. As the raucous early ragtime bands and then the big jazz orchestras took over the spotlight, the plectrum instrument sort of became lost, and most jazz bands in the 1920s just used a banjo for rhythm rather than for solo purposes. However, once in a while you'd hear a guitar solo on a jazz record. For example, Duke Ellington introduced Lonnie Johnson playing a typical early guitar solo for that era in this 1927 Ellington record of Hot and Bothered. During the 1930s, all the dance bands gradually changed over from banjo to guitar, and by 1940, a few outstanding soloists had developed. Notable among these was Al Casey, who was heard on dozens of great records with the late Fats Waller, and got the spotlight all to himself when Fats recorded a wonderful series of ad-lib blues choruses by Casey, released under the title of Buck Jumpin'. That was Al Casey, who a few years ago won the Esquire Award as the top guitarist of 1944, and as a result, he played that number with Louis Armstrong and an all-star band at the Metropolitan Opera House. Around the same time that Casey was becoming popular, a new star arrived on the scene. Charlie Christian, who had been playing with little bands around Oklahoma and Texas, was brought to New York by critic John Hammond to join the Benny Goodman Sextet. There were two unique things about Charlie Christian. One, he played an electric guitar, and the use of an amplifier and a loudspeaker gave the instrument a new vibrance and tonal variety that enabled it to take its place once again as an important solo instrument in jazz and the big bands, too. Before his untimely death in 1942, Charlie Christian's pioneer work with Goodman established his other unique attribute. He phrased in an evenly accented manner that was calm and cool where many musicians before him had tended to get hot and excited. In fact, Christian paved the way from the era of hot jazz to the new concept of cool jazz. And here is his famous solo with the Goodman Orchestra, Solo Flight. Decades since Charlie Christian's death, many advances have been made in jazz guitar. The young guitarist today is equally facile as a rhythm man, an amplified voice in the ensemble, and a soloist with both inspiration and tremendous technique. As an example, here is Chuck Wayne playing with the Shearing Quintet, Chuck's own composition, Cotton Top. Thank you. That for speed. That was Margie Hyams on vibes, George Shearing at the piano, and of course Chuck Wayne on guitar playing his tune, Cotton Top. A fine example of the versatility of the guitar in a small jazz outfit is Tal Farlow's work with the Red Norvo Trio. That consists simply of Red's vibes, Tal Farlow's guitar, and Charlie Mingus's bass on this record of Zing Went the Strings of My Heart. Thank you. Here's another number written by a guitarist and featuring him as soloist. Johnny Collins, who won Esquire's New Star Award in 1947. On this record, he's with Tad Dameron's orchestra playing his own composition, Johnny Collins' John's Delight. Now, here's a very unusual idea. Arvin Garrison and four other guitarists got together, and Arv wrote a number on which the five guitars were used as a section, just as if they were five saxophones or five trumpets. The other guitar men, all playing electric guitars, of course, are Irving Ashby, Barney Kessel, Gene Sargent, and Tony Ritzy. And the title is Five Guitars in Flight. Thank you. by the way, the trumpet chorus on Five Guitars in Flight was by the late Al Killian. The only jazz orchestra today, or just about the only one, I think, to feature a traditional Spanish guitar not amplified, is Stan Kenton's organization, which until very recently boasted an unusual soloist in Lorindo Almeida. And as so often happens with Kenton, the band hovers on the borderline between jazz and semi-classical music in this concerto for Almeida, written by Pete Rugolo and entitled Lament. A terrific example of how well the amplified guitar in the right hands can take part successfully at a jam session. From one of Norman Granz's Jazz at the Philharmonic concerts, here's that fabulous improvised duet on the traditional blues chords between Nat King Cole at the piano and Les Paul on guitar. And with that celebrated sample of jazz inspiration by Nat King Cole and Les Paul, we bring our guitar session to an exciting close. Don't forget, we welcome your questions and all suggestions, and you can still reach us by writing to Jazz Club USA, Voice of America, New York 19. This is your host, Leonard Feather, wishing you the best of tempos until next week.